Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And I'm delighted to welcome back as our prayer coach today, Reverend Gary McDowell, and he's minister at Greystones Presbyterian Church in County Wicklow. And Gary is going to be kind of connecting up a recent hiking experience that he had. Did he get to the top of the mountain? Did prayer need to get him there? Well, we'll be talking about that today. Gary, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you, Wendy?
So you've recovered from your bank holiday expeditions?
Oh, just about. I've still got the suntan, the sunburn to show for it.
One thing when I think of a lot of the interviews I've done over the years, and certainly my own faith journey, is when you look at creation sometimes, nature, I love hiking, for example, it is one of those things that really uplifts me and encourages my faith when we see at things that God has created that we have not touched, that it's so beautiful and so perfect. Do you find being out hiking in nature a good way to just help you pray better?
Absolutely. All of creation is just amazing. It's sad when we look at it and we don't see the awesomeness of it all. We're just kind of bypasses this, we could do so easily, but it is just fantastic. As you drive into Greystones, I don't know if you ever drive into Greystones, but there's a rapeseed field on the left, huge yellow field, blue sea beyond, sun in the sky, and you just takes your breath away. And all of creation is like that. You just see God's handiwork. Psalm 19, which is a beautiful psalm, just talks about that. You know, it screams that God is amazing.
You were hiking in a beautiful place on Bank Holiday Monday in the Wicklow Hills.
In the Wicklow Hills, most beautiful place in the whole wide world. Yes, yeah, it was Bank Holiday, so, and it was a beautiful day. I'm not really a hiker.
So it was a tough journey.
I'm a bit of a stroller, but we had a friend coming and he's been up in the Wicklow Hills. He's a bit of a hiker. So we said, we'll go for a walk. And he said it wouldn't be too strenuous. So I wore my trainers as opposed to my walking boots. I got new walking boots a couple of months ago. And
breaking them in now.
But it was just my trainers. So off we went to a mountain called Scar, which is, you go up to the waterfall and park there and cross the road and start walking. And I wasn't sure how far it was going to be or how long it was going to take, but off we went and it was brilliant. And just that journey said so much to me about life, prayer, spirituality. There was just so many lessons to be learned along the way. But the first one was to have a guide, because other than that, I'd be wandering on in circles. My sense of direction is very poor, but to have someone who's been before and you can follow is a great thing to do.
And is that kind of a, and I can identify, by the way, with needing a guide out hiking, because I have had experiences where myself and my husband have suggested hikes to friends and led them astray. And it is great. I remember once going off with another friend who he had the compass, he had everything. And not only that, he had travelled the route before and he knew exactly where he was going, and he had done it recently.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. That says a lot to our faith journey, doesn't it? That often we're kind of feeling our way around the dark, like without a guide. Mm-hmm. So who's the best guide?
Well, I suppose at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is the best guide. But he can use so many others, people who have been along that path before, people older than us, maybe older in years, but older in the faith, and have seen the highs and the lows and travelled the journey and know the pitfalls, but can take you to a beautiful place. And then a place that they know is safe, you know, it's secure. Or maybe someone to teach you how to pray, the whole kind of idea of prayer. How do you even begin to pray? If someone says pray, because even the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And they've been with them a long time. Someone to teach you to pray, someone to teach you how to read the Bible, how to be in touch with the Spirit. Just having a mentor. We're going to be thinking in our church just the importance of a mentor, someone who's a little bit ahead of you, but knows the way, knows the pitfalls, and can guide you and direct you.
I often think, and again, just thinking of my own experience of having the blessing of having a brother who's a priest and being able to pick up the phone and ask him all these hard questions that would be coming into my head all the time, and thinking, gosh, that's a real blessing for me. But there is, I think, people always, whether it's a friend, whether it's a priest or a minister or a person in your church, yeah, that wants to talk and want to help. And I think on the side of, if you're that person who wants to be the one helping, is you don't have to know all the answers, right? Sometimes it's okay to say, I'm not sure about that, but I'll try my best to find out.
No one's got all the answers, Wendy, and which is great. And sometimes it's a real freeing thing to say, I just don't know. But we're called to work together. You know, even a younger person can can speak life into an older person and bring a freshness and vitality to that. So we're working together. And that whole idea about climbing the mountain, as we went up, there were six of us. And there was part of me didn't really want to get to the top because we'd walked not very far and I turned around and the view was beautiful from there. And I thought, you know,
That's good enough. This
view would do me. Yeah, I'd take a few photographs, you know, but they wanted to keep on going. And I wanted to keep on going too. And so you did, through the boggy bits. My feet got wet. You think, oh my goodness, what have we come here for? He said this would be a dry walk. And you go squelch and take the next step. But I heard about a man just recently from Ireland who climbed Everest. And when he was 2 kilometres from the top, he just broke down and he cried uncontrollably. This is in the last couple of years. I can't recall his name, but maybe some folk out there will remember him. But he decided to focus on 10 steps. If he could take 10 steps, that was his goal, these next 10 steps. And in taking those small chunks, those small bites, he made it to the top. And so it was with us the other day. We made it to the top, even though on several occasions I thought, I want to sit down. I want to have a rest. And but we kept going and kept going. And then we reached the top and it was glorious.
Is that that an issue? And I can't help but thinking of your hiking analogy, Gary, in terms of in our faith, kind of we can get to a certain point and say, this is nice. Yeah, I like going to church at the weekend, saying a few prayers. Don't really want to get any deeper, though, because I'm kind of, I don't know, is it nervous, afraid, challenged, that we kind of get to a certain point and then that's it.
Yeah.
And there's so much more.
That's so much more. And there's always so much more. Because we're only treading in the shallows of God's presence, I'm sure, and prayer and trusting him and so on. And I think climbing up the mountain, laziness was a little bit. I just couldn't be bothered. And for us on the faith journey, there's so much in our prayer or reading the Bible each day or even going to church. Oh, I can't be bothered today. And we don't think about the joy that it might bring.
Or it's just hard to concentrate sometimes.
Yeah, not at our church. It's very easy to concentrate in our place. there can be. The world fights against us. I mean, my own flesh climbing that mountain fought against us. I said, you don't want to make the top. You can't make the top. You don't need to make the top. You're fine here. And spiritually the same. Jesus says, come and follow me. But everything else, the world, the flesh, the devil are all saying, oh, you don't really need to. Sit down and have a rest. You've done okay. You've done your bit. You know, you'll be fine. Just rest a while. And Jesus says, come on, we can do this. Take these 10 steps and I'm going to take you to a place where you've never been before. So there's always new discoveries to make.
Then the question is, what is the best way to keep on taking those short steps where you're not kind of setting goals that are too far away or unachievable? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we do it best together. I love the word together. It is my favourite word. And I believe Ireland's entry for the Eurovision Song Contest this year is called Together. And they got through the final last night. But the word together is beautiful. And that's the way God made us. He made us for community, to be together. He created Adam and Eve to be together with him and to be fruitful and multiply and create a whole family for God. So it's togetherness. We all bring our own gifts, our own ways, and that kind of encouragement. Come on, we can do this. We can pray together. We can walk this thing together. Psalm 121, which many people will know. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And those were pilgrims going to Jerusalem for a festival. And they sang those songs, the songs of ascent. They kind of going up towards a hill and they looked to the hills ahead and no matter what was going on in their lives before, you know, life's a struggle for so many, for all of us. It's challenging. There's so many painful things in life, but to lift your eyes and to know you're going towards God's presence together, singing together. So they lifted their eyes, they were reinvigorated and that was great. And that's how we do too. That's the importance of a Sunday, coming together, not to be bored in church, but to praise and remember and to be reinvigorated.
A final question for you then, Gary, just on that and the power of being together. What about people who in their faith actually feel alone? They feel the opposite. They feel kind of by themselves.
Yeah, and we can very easily feel isolated, can't we? I mean, you think back to the Old Testament about Elijah, who was an amazing prophet, and he had that wonderful battle with the prophets of Baal. Do you remember that? And there was 450 prophets of Baal and there was Elijah, and they brought the sacrifice, and he said, whoever's God, burns up the sacrifices, the true God. And it was an amazing challenge. Must have been really scary, but he was very confident, and his God was the powerful God. And the very next chapter after that, he's completely despondent. He's far away. He runs to Mount Sinai, and he says, "Oh Lord, I wish I could die. I'm the only one left that really has put my trust in you." And God had to come and say, "Have something to eat. Let's get refreshed. Let's put things in perspective again. And let's see it the way I see it." Actually, there's lots of people have not bowed the knee to Baal. And yet you can, the devil and our own selves can isolate us. We think we're the only one that feels this way, who feels this way. We stumble and fall, and we just feel it's us, but it's not really. And again, it's just that lovely word, together. And as we reach the pinnacle of that mountain, you see things from a fresh perspective. Not just God's world and God. You know, you can look at the messiness of the world, and the world's very messy. But to be able to get there and see from a fresh perspective, but more than that, to see yourself as God sees you. We can see all the flaws, you know, we can see all the weakness, we can see all the brokenness. But God sees that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's how he sees us as the important thing, to see things through his eyes. And that was the lovely thing about standing up on that Scar Mountain. Go up the Scar Mountain if you haven't been. Admire the view. See things from a new perspective. And to try to see our own lives from God's perspective is the greatest freedom and the greatest energizer of all.
Yes, if we could see ourselves the way God sees us, I think it would be a very, very good start.
That'll be fantastic.
Solve a lot of problems in our lives.
Yeah,
it's been great to have our prayer coach today. He's been Reverend Gary MacDowell, who is the minister at Greystones Presbyterian Church, which is in County Wicklow. It's been lovely to have you, Gary.
It's been great to be here.
Thanks for coming on Spirit Radio again.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.